This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at 5:30, Dan Wilson will join us on the program. The Mariners legend, an all-around nice guy, will join us at 5:30. We'll see if Jared Kelnick is able to make his way over here shortly. I was over there watching him. He was still in the cage.
I think I saw...
Your mic is off there, Dave. There you go.
It's a minor detail.
Yeah, there's an on, there's an off.
Got people coming. I got friends here. And then
you
the first
got nervous.
Thing I do, I get nervous performing.
You clutched up in front of them.
I thought I saw Kelnick had left Kona headlock over there.
Yeah, but that would be funny. That would be worth him not coming on the show just to know that
just
that
to
happened.
See that. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think for Kelnick, he's probably been the most requested guest.
Him or Julio.
Yeah, you're right, Julio. I mean, but there's so much centered around his spring that I feel like, you know, that's probably something. I don't know. He's also, we talked to him when he brought, you know, you mentioned this one. We had Sewald on, you know, it was Sewald, Logan Gilbert, and Jared Kelnick that came up the same day. And we talked to Jared. Mm-hmm. We were up in the booth, and I just remember afterwards thinking, I like everything that kid said. You know, it's been a lot of pressure and a lot of focus on him.
Yeah, a lot of ups and downs since that day.
But, you know, I thought the best thing I've heard maybe is that, because we've talked about how he's intense, but his teammates like him. But when I asked Tom Murphy, who do you flip the most heat to or crap to? He said, oh, Jared Kelnick. And I'm like, oh, that's a really good sign, because you only give a hard time to people you like.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, sometimes there will be people I like to give a hard time to that I'm not a huge fan of, Dave.
Yeah. I think in a team situation.
Certainly,
though,
yes.
Yeah.
So, I would just ignore him if I didn't like him.
Right. So, yeah, it's obviously they've set the culture here. There's a reason why. You know, we talked about that with Shannon about how, at least for me, I love the homegrown, like for the Seahawks right now. I mean, you've got a fifth rounder and Tyreek, and you've got, you know, late round draft choices, guys that, you know, they're homegrown.
Yeah, you've got Abe Lucas, you got Charles Cross, you're right. It is nice to have players that come up through your system that you've watched them develop from, you know, they come in as certainly raw talent, tons of ability, but not refined yet. At baseball, you see it more. I mean, the NFL, yeah, you see it. But the rookies you're just thrown right in. There isn't the minor leagues. Minor leagues is college football.
Yeah.
You know, so this is such a unique thing, because we'll hear often about a prospect or their first-round draft pick, no matter where they pick. You know, it's 10th overall pick, 5th overall, whoever it is. You don't see them for a few years. Mm-hmm. You know, they go off, and unless you're following every moment of minor league ball or going to the games when they're at home, you're not on TV. You're not sitting at home on your couch watching the guy that they just picked in the first round the way you do in football. Like, I can't wait to see how he meshes with the offense and the defense in football. This is it's kind of a waiting game, and the development is so unique in baseball.
Right.
Same with basketball. You know, I know they've got the G League or whatever they call it these days, but really, it's, you know, college, and then you're with the big club. You're up there seeing what you can do.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too, is, you know, there's just no bad guys in this system, and that's by design. I mean, Kelnick's a guy that, I mean, if he was, you know, and I think a lot of people, because they mistake his intensity for him maybe, you know, being a difficult person in the clubhouse and things like that, but the Mariners wouldn't have him here.
No.
If that was the case. So, yeah, I loved hearing that from Tom Murphy. That really made me feel good about that part of it, because he's kind of a mystery to a lot of people. I mean, you know, he's been interviewed every once in a while, and he's had some really clutch big games. I mean, you know, the one where, you know, I don't mean to bring it up, but the one where Ty France dumped the Gatorade on him and he wasn't happy. I mean, that was a huge, I think he had a triple and a home run that day.
It was a big game for him.
Yeah. So,
yeah, he looked less than pleased. I heard it was just cold out, Dave.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know. I guess that's what happened.
Maybe I would have reacted that way, too. I don't know. But
he would have been, what in the hell are you doing, man? No, it's you're right, though. I think, everybody sort of composes themselves, comports themselves differently. It doesn't mean you need to walk around with a big smile. Hey, everybody, how you doing? He's an intense guy. And hey, we had Marco on earlier. Marco's a really intense dude. Yeah. I mean, he can joke around and he smiled and all that. He's nice, but he's got a different edge to him, certainly than guys we've talked to. And I think easily Kelnick's in that camp, that he's just kind of focused and he's got an intensity about him. It doesn't make him a bad guy by any stretch. He's a guy that I think came in with a level of confidence that some people were looking at as problematic when he had some comments about, hey, I know for a fact I could have helped that team last year. Yeah. And, you know, people hang on to those comments. And then when you get humbled in front of everybody, you know, some people are like, see, you deserve that. You needed that. And maybe he did. Maybe, you know, years down the road when he's established and he's having his career, he'll talk about this time. And you know what? Yeah, that was huge for me. That brought me back to the place I needed to be mentally to get to where I'm going in this game.
Well, think about it. I mean, people, you wouldn't like him because he said, I think I could help the team. He has confidence in his ability. I mean, that's kind of what you want, you know. So, yeah, I sort of feel bad for him a little bit that, you know, as far as the fans go, the pressure, I think it's really difficult for him because, like we said, the guy has won his entire life and now he's in the big leagues. But there was, I just remember Scott Servais talking about him and when they made that trade and he just went on and on about like every, you know, five tool guy, run, this, that. And he had, and I think the reason why he said that is because Kelnick had apparently one of the best workouts. You know, I think that's what Scott said, something along those lines. It's one of the most impressive workouts I've ever seen. And I'm like, whoa, you know, that's like when somebody like Scott Servais or Pete Carroll or John Schneider say something like that. Yeah, that's where you go. You gotta listen.
Yeah, so. And I think, you know, expectations of the fan base grow, especially when you hear about the hand wringing in New York when he was part of that trade. You know, here comes Cano and Edwin Diaz, who they probably weren't as familiar with, and Cano is on, you know, not the backside of his career, but he'd passed his peak, I guess. So yeah, technically the backside of his career. They're taking on the money. You're sending out this guy who's a surefire star, and what do you do? There was a lot of that initially. And it was just a different time, man. It was just a time that, you know, where we had to rely on what others were saying, and it brought a different level of spotlight is what it was. And we get a chance to speak to the man himself right now. He gets set to put the headsets on. Jared Kelnick here with us. There we go. How are you, man?
Good. How are we doing?
We're doing great. I got to tell you, it's pretty cool to watch you in there on those machines. First of all, the Tredec machine. How cool is that thing? That's not a common tool for every team out there.
No, it's about as realistic as it's going to get without actually having a real pitcher. But it's definitely fun to get reps in off of there, challenge yourself, go against some nasty pitchers.
So you put the guy up on the screen and everything and the whole thing. How long is that? That's new, right, this year?
Last year we had it.
Oh, you did?
Towards the end of the year, I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, no, it's we have one up in Seattle. We have one here. And so it's going to hopefully be a good training tool for everybody.
Yeah. How much different is it than just a regular batting cage? Because I saw you in the far cage, which isn't the Tredec machine. Does it take adjustment going from one to the other?
Yeah, for sure. You know, just timing is like the biggest thing. But to have like a real life, you know, person basically on a screen simulating the windup is huge for just your eyes.
What have you worked on the most as far as like little details? Is it your stance? Is it your swing? All of the above?
Yeah, I mean, I the biggest thing is just working on staying inside the baseball. Anytime you can stay inside the ball, it gives yourself the most room for error. Allows you to you're less susceptible to off speed, especially pitches down. You just don't run out of barrel as much. You're not pulling off it and working through the middle of the field. That's what I'm really trying to do.
How much do you put into what your production is in spring training? Because we're always taught as baseball fans, spring, good or bad, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I've got to believe it matters. When you're crushing the way that you are, you look quiet at the plate, your hands, everything, you look consistent and confident. Is there something that you put into it or carry over?
I mean, it's the same game, I feel like. You know, yeah, we're out here working on stuff, but at the same time, like, I'm trying to compete just as much as everybody else. So going to take the same momentum going into opening day and, you know, just we got a big year ahead of us.
As far as like who you consult, like in the off season, are you a guy that goes to Driveline, or are you working with the Mariner coaches, or other players?
Yeah,
who are you talking to?
I have a few coaches outside of like just my day to day out here, but you know, a lot of it is the same people that I've, you know, talked to my whole life. Keep the circle pretty small, but. You know, the coaches that I have in my corner, especially last offseason, really taught me a lot and taught me how to stay inside the baseball, and that's what I'm trying to do.
How much time do you take off in the offseason before you get back to working out or working on baseball?
Yeah, I took like 2 weeks off of working out. I like just didn't do anything for about 2 weeks, but then you kind of get bored of that. So I was back in there in about 2 weeks.
No traveling, no vacation?
Yeah, I mean, I travel a little bit, but while I was traveling, I was still working out. So
it doesn't end.
No.
Where'd you go, Jared?
I went to L.A. for a little bit, came out here for a little bit, went out to Houston for a little bit, went to South Carolina for a little bit, so I bounced all around.
Yeah.
And home, Wisconsin.
Yeah. How big was last year for you, just being a part of a team that ended the drought? That was a huge deal in Seattle, and obviously you weren't here for all of those years, but you were a part of the team that got over the hump, win the first postseason series.
I mean, it's huge. I think what's even bigger is that we have a lot of the same familiar faces from last year this year, because we've already been to the playoffs. We know what to expect going in. We've played with this almost the same as we just have that connection. We don't have a lot of familiar, or we don't have a lot of new guys, and we're all, you know, working in the same direction.
Hey, different bat this year, the style. I saw the big chunky knob.
Yep.
Tell us about that. I think we saw it first last year, maybe.
Right. Yeah, I went to a bat fitting thing out here, actually. And I was just super – I was way more consistent with a bat like that. It just puts the weight more in your hands. It's a lot easier to stay inside the baseball when the weight's in your hands. But the bat that I was using was super end-loaded, which – was making it tough to stay inside, a lot of like swinging around the ball, but this just allows me to have more barrel awareness.
Do you feel as comfortable at the plate as you ever have? You look more comfortable. We've seen different stances, we've seen different kind of movement up there, and now it just to the eye looks more natural. Does it feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, I feel good. Just gonna keep doing the same routine that I've been doing. Like I said, out here it's been working, so there's no reason that it shouldn't work when I get back up to Seattle.
I've noticed, like in a golf lesson, sometimes the things that feel really uncomfortable are the things that you should, do. Is that the case too? Did you ever?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't necessarily just uncomfortable. Like it feels really comfortable now because I've been doing it for so many months. Right. But you know, at first it just felt different. But that's what I wanted. I didn't want to. I didn't like where my swing was at the end of the year. And so the coaches that I worked with, you know, when we were talking, like, I didn't want it to feel the same as it's been feeling. I wanted it to feel different because then I knew I was doing something different. And, you know, right away I started to, you know, feel it out. It started to feel different right away. But then within that first week, I could just constantly repeat it. And now it's just my swing.
Are you a guy that'll ask a lot of questions, like whether it's to guys on your team, Ty France, or do you talk to Ichiro, talking about hitting?
I don't ask too many questions in terms of, like, with guys and stuff like that. I'll ask questions, like, to the coaches that I'm working with, and they know my swing. And if I'm just trying to get a better understanding of how my body works and how, you know, how it should versus it shouldn't, that's when I ask questions, just to, like, because I want to learn it too, you know, because they're not always going to be there. And when, you know, it's a 2-2 count in the bottom of the ninth and I got to make an adjustment, I can't make a phone call and ask what they think. You know, I got to be able to make it on the spot. So I got to know.
How's the pitch clock been for you? Is it even a thing?
Not really. I mean, sometimes it gets, like, it'll get quick, but you just kind of, like, by this point, it's just kind of normal.
Yeah. One of the things that seems like will favor you is A, the bigger bases, shortens the distance by a bit, but the idea they can only disengage twice and they better get you on the third time.
Right.
You're a guy that's got that speed that I would think, you tell me if I'm wrong, this is going to be something that really favors your running game on the bases.
Yeah, for sure. I think you're going to see a lot more stolen bases, for sure. But just to get the momentum and, you know, they're now you have pitchers that they have another thing to worry about. So before it was just if you were on base, they could think about you and the hitter. Now they got to think about you, the hitter, and the clock.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit adding a little bit more thinking for a pitcher, and you can get a little bit distracted.
So they try to pick you off twice. Do you think, all right, I'm going to take a bigger lead. I'm going to get that. You find yourself being more aggressive in
for
that situation.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it just seems like, all right, they better make the right choice on that third attempt,
yeah,
or you got the base.
Right.
So, yeah, it just seems like one of – and that's the one that hasn't shown up in spring quite as much, do you think? It, just in terms of bigger bases, it's hard to tell what difference that makes right
now. Exactly, yeah, 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 totally.
What is that something that is – what brings you joy, like, the most? Stolen base, great catch in the outfield – you know, is base stealing a big deal for you?
For sure.
It's one of your favorite plays.
Anything that like really helps the team win would bring anybody joy. But you know, base stealing for me, it's like part of my job. Like I can run, so I better steal bases for my team. But I would categorize them all in the same.
This might be like an eighth grade question, but like, are you the fastest guy on the team?
No. Heck no.
No?
I don't think so.
No yeah, chance. But you guys aren't, like, lining up in the schoolyard and
No.
Yeah, who do you think's faster than you?
For sure, Haggerty.
Yeah.
Haggerty can burn. Probably Demo, too.
Yeah.
I'd put him up there.
What about Julio? Is he?
Julio's quick. I mean, I don't know. I've never ran next to him. I've only just watched him run, and it's hard to see yourself run.
Yeah.
But I feel like I could give him a run for his money.
Yeah. Hey, as far as defense goes, I thought one of the things that was really a great sign, just in terms of baseball maturity, if you will, is even when you struggled at the plate, when you were filling in right field for Mitch, your defense was outstanding. You didn't carry it into the field. A lot of guys, when they struggle at the plate, sometimes it follows them into the field. And that's something that I thought was a big deal that didn't really get a lot of pub.
Right.
Is that a hard thing to, all right, I'm going to leave that at bat here. I got to go out and focus on what's going on out there.
No, not for me. You know, I just try to do, I think I can play defense really well anywhere in the outfield. And so for me, it's just like, again, it goes back to like just do your job. So if I can't do it at the plate, then I got to do it out there. And even when I am doing it at the plate, I still got to do it out there. So regardless of how you do it at the plate, that shouldn't dictate how you go about your business out there or stealing bases.
Does one of the corner spots feel better to you, left or right, in terms of where you pick the ball up off the bat or anything?
No.
Doesn't matter. Hey, that was kind of a weird feeling at the end. Like when you're in the playoffs, you think, yeah, we're going to keep playing, and all of a sudden it just ends. It's over. What were your emotions? What were you feeling like at the end of the season? Were you...
You know, I wasn't ready for it to be over.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever are because, like you said, it isn't like it slowly goes away. It's just done. But that feeling that I know we all had when it was just done, you know, we don't want to have that feeling this year. We want to be the last team to do it. So I can tell you that the second that it was over, I didn't like the way that it felt, but I told myself that I got to go out and learn as much as I possibly can about the swing so that coming into this next season, I can help contribute more than I ever have because I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
Are you somebody that once the season's done, you'll continue to watch playoffs, or do you feel like I'm done?
I only watch the games that I play in.
So yeah. you didn't pay any attention to playoffs or World Series?
No.
Yeah. Huh. All right. Now, you're a guy that... there's a lot of attention paid around you and a lot of people going, man, if he can do this, this team's going to be this. Are you a social media guy? Are you somebody that reads or hears about what people are writing or saying?
I would guess that there's articles and stuff, but I've never read a single article. I don't know what's being said about me. Honestly, I don't care. I'm just going to keep going out and doing my job.
It's a good way to be. Yeah. What was the saying again about?
Said is what somebody else thinks of me is none of my business.
None of my business. Yeah. Good one. What do you do, Jared, downtime, just to take your mind off of baseball?
Yeah. I mean, I like hanging out with the guys or, you know, talking to my people back home or just like the people on my personal team. Enjoy catching up with them and talking about other things and then like just. You know, fishing and hunting, obviously, not during the season, but you know, playing golf too is fun. But you know, I'm pretty chilled out after I leave the field.
We were talking to Tom Murphy yesterday, and he was talking about, you know, there's a great group of guys, and yeah, we bust each other's chops. And he was asked, who do you like to bust chops to? He said, Jared.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
he said you were the guy he likes, and he does it because he likes you. He said, but
Tom's the best. I love that guy.
Is he the one that gives you the most grief?
I mean, they all do a good job of it, but but like you got it. If you can get it, you got to be able to take it too, though. Yeah, that's like the biggest thing, and I think Tom's the best at it because he can give it so much, but he can also take more than anybody. Mm-hmm. And he cracks me up. He always is on me. Yeah, now that I think about it.
Who do you give it to the most?
Probably O'Keefe.
Yeah.
Brian O'Keefe. He's one of my buddies. So anytime I see him, I wear him out about something.
Murph's a big outdoorsman guy, too. Yeah, right? You guys ever go hunting or fishing together?
We haven't yet. I would like to, on an off day, like go up to like the San Juan Islands and do some salmon fishing or something, and I know he'd be all on board about that.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of his music?
His music's tough, but like, you know, it's just, that's his thing. So you just accept it, and when he's in the weight room, like that's his thing, so you just let him do it.
He's the only one, isn't he?
Yeah. Like,
he said he clears out the weight room when he puts his music
Heck
on.
Yeah.
That's a strategy. He gets everything's at his disposal. He's alone.
Yeah. What about you, Jared? What are you listening to?
I mean, I listen to everything, even like 80s, like 90s music.
Nice.
But like all the way up until like, you know, rap stuff now. I listen to it all. I think there's a time and place for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just kind of whatever I'm feeling.
What about to get fired up before a game? What's good?
I'll listen to rap music for sure to just kind of get me going. But then usually at night it's like, you know, old like 90s country or something. Okay. Chill out.
You go to concerts or anything?
I've been to a few. I haven't been all like country concerts though. But I don't know. I'm not a big concert person. I'd rather just listen to the music on my phone.
Yeah. What about when you go out in Seattle? Is it getting to the point where people are like, "That's Jared Kelnick"?
Yeah. I mean, I get it a lot of places I go, but everybody's been good about just like respecting everybody's space. No different than I am.
All right.
But yeah, it's been so far so good.
Well, Jared, it's cool to catch up with you, man. You got a lot of people that are really pulling for you, and it's super excited about the season coming up, and we are as well. So we wish you nothing but the best, and look forward to talking to you during the season.
Awesome, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jared.
Appreciate it, man. There you go. There's Jared Kelnick of your Seattle Mariners. Great time talking with him. A reminder: our coverage of Mariners spring training is presented by Alaska Airlines and Kitsap Credit Union. Coming up, we had to make sure we talked to this guy before we leave town. The great Dan Wilson will join us next year as we continue live from the Mariners Spring Training Complex in Peoria, Arizona. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Our thanks to Jared Kelnick, who joined us in the previous segment. It's Wyman and Bob here, Seattle Sports on 710. And Dave, you and I all week have just raved about everybody we've spoken to as just being, what a great guy. Every time they leave, what a great guy.
Except for this guy?
Well, no, I'm saying this guy, if he were playing today, would fit right in with this team because he's just one of the all-time great guys. He knows it. I tell him every time I see him. I love this guy. The great Dan Wilson is with us. How are you, man?
Guys, great. Thank you. And thank you for the introduction. It's awfully nice of you.
Well, we were talking during the break.
It's warranted.
You didn't even realize you were our go-to guy as a member of the media back in the day.
I didn't. And had I known it, Bob, I might not have been the nice guy you thought I was.
I just picture Dan each day going, why do they keep crowding around my locker? Why do they, you know, go talk to those guys, you know? But some guys weren't quite as friendly as Dan was. But, hey, how much fun is this for you to be, you know, now you're the teacher. These are the students out here, and I see you working with the catchers, and it's just, you're out there there smiling the whole time. It seems like something you really love.
Yeah, I'm really fortunate. It's great, and I appreciate the opportunity from the Mariners. That we, you know, there's a lot of us old guys, old timers, that get a chance to be around spring training. And I tell you, it's interesting. The game has changed so much, and I feel like I'm actually the student, and I'm learning from the guys that are doing it. Because catching, the art of catching, the art of receiving, really has changed so much from the days that I played. That it really is. It's just great to understand it, to listen to it, to hear it. The introduction of analytics and the metrics behind receiving, just getting a handle on all that. It's really, really interesting, and to be a part of it, see these guys do their work every day. It's just a great group of guys, and not just the catchers. I think that speaks for the culture here, and you guys are getting a sense of that too with the guys you're able to interview. It's just a great group of guys. I think Scott does such a great job, especially here in spring training where it's a little bit more relaxed, of bringing guys together, building that culture, and it really is fun to be here on a daily basis.
Yeah, so we've talked to Cal, Murph, and Harry Ford. How about that kid, man? That is incredible. I mean, first of all, we were just looking at how young he looks. And I don't think it's because we're getting old. I think he really looks young.
Well, he is young.
But yeah, but you guys, that's a great group that you have there. Maybe it seems like at that position, you're set more than any time I can remember.
Yeah, it is a great group. And I think you touched on something that's really, I think, really beneficial. And that's that veteran young player balance. And, to see a guy like Cal Raleigh, who's still a fairly young player, but to be able to sort of be the veteran in a case like Harry Ford, where he's pouring into Harry Ford here in the mornings when we're working and doing receiving. And Harry's just soaking it up like a sponge, like he does. And then, Murph is that veteran to Cal Raleigh, and they're learning from one another. It's just a great environment, and I think this position more than any lends itself to that, because there's so many intricacies, there's so many areas that need to be developed in terms of not just the physical stuff, but more on the mental side. Working with your pitching staff, building relationships with your pitching staff, earning their trust, calling a game. It, the list goes on, and these guys are picking up nuggets from each other every day, and it's just a great environment to be around.
How do you think you would have liked PitchCom when you were playing?
That's a really good question. I think we would have been a little more skeptical of PitchCom than I think it's taken hold really quickly. I think it is a great way to communicate. I think without it, I think the speed up rules that they've incorporated this year would be really difficult, because it is, you can give him the sign at any point. They can agree or disagree at any point, and it just makes for a little bit of a smoother transition pitch to pitch. So I like it. I've grown to like it. I'm just more of a traditionalist, and so anytime there's new technology to the game, I'm always one of the later guys to accept it. But this in particular, I think is really good. I think it's, obviously with the new speed up rules, it's almost essential. But it is a good little tool for these guys to be able to stay on the same page.
I'm that way too, Dan. I still print out my ticket when I go to the airport.
Yes, I do too. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, is there any other way to do
it? No, right.
But I just call myself a grumpy old man. You said I'm just late to the party, basically. But with the pitch clock and the shorter games, the one thing that I hadn't thought of is, like, you're taking guys off their feet for probably, an extra, 20, 25 to a half an hour, especially for a catcher, right? Because you guys are getting beat up, and, that's got to be a little, like, man, I wish they had this when I was playing.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and that's something that we talked about a little bit last year, because this stuff has been incorporated in the minor leagues from an earlier standpoint. So, I think the guys are a little bit fresher, especially the guys behind the plate. I think when you add in, the less time that they're on their feet, along with the fact that they are, catching from a knee, obviously something that we see more, I think that's easier on the body as well behind the plate. So, I think both of those things combined are going to be very impactful in terms of how much energy, how much they're going to have left in the tank towards the end of the season.
Murph said something interesting, thinking he'd like the sped up game and everything, and he's like, I'm back there squatting behind the plate all this time, I don't get as much time to rest. The innings are happening so quick that he felt like I could rest before. That's gone.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's kind of the flip side to it, no doubt. And catchers, you know, especially when it gets a little bit hotter, it's nice to be able, you know, and you're down in Texas, or I guess they're indoor now, but you're in one of those hot environments, say Kansas City, it's nice to go back and sit in front of the fan for a little bit, get cooled off. But when that's kind of sped up on you, that can be a little bit challenging as well. But again, these guys are, you know, they've adapted. I think the staff here does such a great job of adapting their conditions to that. They'll be ready for that, no doubt. But over the course of the season, you know, we're talking about little things here and there, but when you talk about 162 game schedule, those little things add up to be quite a bit, and that's definitely going to be one of the things to watch.
I think from the time when I played, like, diet, I never paid attention to what I ate, you know, but there's also technology. But what do you think is, since when you played, is maybe the most important?
Yeah, I think, you know, I look back on it, I think that the whole idea of sports conditioning and you know, working out in the weight room, that has been one of the largest changes of sort of psychology that I've seen in the game. In Cincinnati in 1992, we had one part-time strength and conditioning coach at that point. Now in the game, we've got a full-time guy at all the minor league facilities. I think there's two guys in Seattle. So it's something that's really, really changed and adapted, and I think for the better. I think that's why we see the, you know, the velocity's going up. We see balls going further, whatnot. I think these guys are in better physical condition than they used to be because there's just so much more science behind it and has helped it. One of the things I think in Seattle that it becomes an issue a little bit is the amount of travel we have, and so sleep becomes a big part of our deal as well. You know, getting good sleep, getting good rest. When you're having to switch time zones as frequently as they do this year, the schedule changes, and so I feel like there's going to be even a little bit more travel east. It's one of the areas I know that they've looked at and trying to make adjustments there as best they can, because that can be an issue. But all those things, I think, again, only work to really help guys have more at the end of the year, have more in the tank, and that's really when you need it. When you're making that push in September and it's the playoffs and, you know, T-Mobile's full of 45,000 screaming people, you want to be close to your best at that point, and that hopefully is all those little things will make a big difference.
Hey, last one before we let you go, and I think I probably know the answer to this, but it feels like we're right around the corner from an automated strike zone. How do you feel about that?
I think it depends on how it goes, and I think what's going to be interesting is to see how they do it this year in Tacoma. They're going to have it in AAA. From what I understand, the first 3 days of the week will be only the automatic strike zone. The second 3 days of the week, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, will be the challenge system, where a pitcher, a catcher, or a hitter can challenge the call of the umpire. To me, that's kind of the hybrid model where, yeah, we have the ABS, but we're not going to lean on it 100%. For me, if we're going to go somewhere, I hope that's where we land, because the ABS system, if we go 100% ABS, as in terms of what catchers do and what we train here every morning and receiving, that all goes out the window because it's a machine calling it, and how you manipulate the ball and how you make it look bears no significance on what gets called. So I think you're right. I think it's down the road. What it looks like when it gets to the big league level, it'll be interesting to see.
Dan, we love you, man. Always appreciate you taking the time. One of the all-time. All you need to do is look up here. You only put the greats up on a sign like this called memorable. And Dan Wilson is right there next to Junior, in between Junior and Jamie Moyer. So that tells you. It's not just me that feels that way. The organization feels that way. Appreciate it so much, man.
Oh, guys, always a pleasure. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks,
there you
Dan.
Go. The great Dan Wilson with us. We're going to come back with Mean Text. You still have a few minutes. 866-979-3776. Powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. It's coming up with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Our thanks to Dan Wilson, who joined us in the previous segment. Always good to talk to him, and a perfect way to close things out here in Arizona with Mean Text, as we do every week. Doesn't matter where we're at in the country, Dave. We allow the listeners to check in and say mean things to us in a creative way. This has become problematic at the end of the week.
All of a sudden.
All of a sudden he forgets there's an on-off button.
I like that Adam Ray, you know, We had fun last night. Let's just say that, okay? And he still is throwing us some mean texts.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lufko looks like he always has loose Cheez-Its in his pants.
Probably.
What? Where does that guy's mind go? Unbelievable. Taking a shot at Marco, maybe. Because Marco, that was one of the funnier things. Now, Marco Gonzalez, very intense, the interview with him, and nice guy, but yeah, just super focused and intense. And we mentioned that Adam Ray's throwing out the first pitch. He's, oh, they invited him back, huh?
They're letting him do it again.
It was good stuff. Anyway, so he's taking a shot at Marco, I think. Marco Gonzalez looks like the kid in sixth grade who bragged about knowing where they kept the leftover tetherball nets. He also has the voice of a guy who sings 1877. Oh, 1-877 Cars for Kids.
1877.
Well, that's how he put it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also looks like Enrique Iglesias' brother with a gambling problem.
Getting no response from Lefko on that.
Mike's all worried about these things falling
over. Yeah,
hey, listen, it's fine. Right. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm watching that. I'm watching Alabama try to have an epic comeback against San Diego State. So just go. You can read all those.
How about that, man? Great. I mean, the one seed's going down, yeah, right?
Not looking good. Bad news for Houston, too.
Said, making Lefko laugh feels good. Not as good as it feels to know you woke up at 10 a.m. and missed Brock and Salk, but good. We got any good ones for the listeners there, Mike?
Good ones. People love the What's Bugging Bob segment when they realize you were a little bit of a clean person, doesn't like germs. So they said 425, and people claim Dave's the psychopath. Talking about Bob's germ phobia. Another one on those same vein. 206, Bob, how many people do you think have sat in the seat you're sitting in right now? How do you know for a fact that no one has... Well, they said a term I won't say, but
relieved themselves.
A term of a fart and something else on it.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
But
is that concerning to you?
Well, no, because these pants will go into the dirty clothes. See? That's how that works. I will sit on another seat at the game tonight that I know has been sat in by a bunch of dirty people, which means these pants will not,
dirty people.
Will not be worn again
they're
washed.
They can be clean people.
People are dirty.
A bunch of dirty humans over there. So, I'll sit in other seats. I just won't then sit on my furniture at home or my bed or anything like that.
Seat reasonable.
253 says, must be a nightmare for Shannon to host you three. Dave craps his pants when he sees an onion. You have to make miniature food for Bob's baby man head. And Lefko, bleep Lefko.
Just bleep Lefko.
He got the good one. Lefko. He got the one Dave wanted.
Yeah. Well, I forgot to provoke our texters.
Would you want to read more Adam Ray ones?
Maybe they're stoned or something. Keep going.
Okay. Oh, you were putting sunscreen on one day, I guess?
Yeah.
And we were talking about that. So 206 says, Wyman's not just a psychopath. Now he's a sensitive psychopath.
Oh.
To put sunscreen.
Yeah, that's what Goldie was giving me a hard time about the putting on the... I was like, I'm very delicate, Goldie.
How about this? Dave's flash on his phone is like his storytelling abilities. Abrasive, out of nowhere. Yeah. And is the reason I fell off the couch last night. True story. He fell off the couch.
You tried to grab him, Bob.
I did.
It was a quick move. I was impressed. You almost grabbed him somewhere that would not have been helpful.
I was looking. Just saw him going. And
you're like, just... Yeah.
What else you got there, Lefko?
Well, first of all, it looks like San Diego State's going to win, so that could be big.
Beating Alabama?
Yeah, and Miami is up 12 with 10 minutes left, so we'll have to watch that. The one day Robbie Ray was throwing behind our show, and you could hear the grunting, 206 said, oh, I thought that grunting was just thumb annihilating a plate of food. Guess not.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing Mike has been on top of. Like, I think we need to get more food. Like, yeah. We've had that discussion, like, every day.
Yeah, he's all about the pack.
Where are we going to eat?
Did we pack snacks?
We got snacks.
Yeah. 360 says, Dave doing updates sounds like the high school that invited the fourth grader to do the morning announcement.
Or like the little kids at the ball game that they say, play ball!
Oh, goodness gracious.
Or like the people they invited to shag
BP.
Yeah, that was funny, you know, from Ty France about, he's like, somebody's going to get killed out there.
Well, somebody did apparently get hit.
There were some some older people out there. That I asked maybe Ty, the vision not so good.
I asked Ty, did he go down? He goes, no, but he was leaning on the fence.
Oh, that was good. Bob has the face of a guy who puts into sweet leg veins on his Tinder profile.
Are you talking about Dave?
No, he's saying
no, I know, but that picture that...
Oh, people are talking about my white legs? Is that right?
No. Dave's thigh meat or whatever?
That was Booger Beard.
Oh, Booger Beard.
Booger Beard on Twitter.
Did he scream it?
No, he wrote it. He asked whose leg it was, and he goes, nice. Very nice.
Yeah, but it's nice. Very nice.
360 just texted in. Any chance you guys could just stay in Arizona? They don't want us back.
Yeah, but you still have to listen to us.
Yeah, we're set up to broadcast, man. We're not going.
We have half a banner standing, so we're good to go. Linda in the 425 says, I guess you can't do nice texts. You wouldn't really have a segment.
Yeah. It's probably okay, maybe we should try that. Want to try that
nice
sometime?
Text. Just read nice dead things air about us, how great we are, how kind we are.
That might be, they might find creative ways to actually rip us.
By saying something nice.
By saying nice things.
The backhanded compliment.
Isn't that what they do anyway?
No, nah. They're ripping us.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know, Mike, you tell me. Bleep you, Lefko.
It's an endearing way. San Diego State, that was embarrassing. The guy just tried to dunk between his legs. The time ran out, so I think they just won.
Dunk between his legs?
He just tried to do a dunk between his legs, and he traveled or something, but they're out there. So they're going to beat Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he dribbled between his legs.
He tried to, like, rocket, you know, Vince Carter style between his legs.
Oh, and he tried to do that
while in the air.
Yeah.
Tried to go dunk competition.
I'm half watching, half trying to do this segment. That's what I think of our texters in their main text.
Ooh. Lefko taking a late shot.
Next week.
Keep that in mind for next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Lefko really.
One more? No, they have some good ones. Let's see.
Yeah, they're going to have some good ones for you next week.
Yeah, there is a good one to end on about me. 425 says, and kind of all of us, I always forget to send in mean texts because of how stoned I am, so I wanted to get this in now. Thump seems like the kind of guy that met his significant other on Ancestry.com.
Yikes.
All right. We'll leave that there. We do that every Friday in case you're new to the program. And keep in mind what Lefko just said to you a moment ago when you send them in next week. 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. We're going to ask him about the high praise he got about his slider and maybe the strangeness of his finger on the ball, the whole thing. Matt Brash is going to join us next year. It's Wyman and Bob live from Peoria, Arizona, Mariners Spring Training Complex. This is Seattle Sports on 710.